The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Is sleeping in on weekends healthy self-care, or does it set you up for a rough Monday? For people who wake up early all week, days off can feel like a chance to catch up. But can you really store up sleep at the weekend to help you stay more alert during the working week? With the answers to those questions, I'm joined by author and sleep expert Lucy Wolfe of sleepmatters.ie. Lucy, good morning and welcome.
Thank you very much.
So what's going on here? Because I know myself, even at the weekends, I wake up at the same time, somewhere between 5:30 and 5:45 every morning. Mm-hmm. But on the weekends, I just wake up and I say, it's Saturday, and I promptly go back to sleep.
Yeah. And in theory, that's what we should all really do. Except for some people, when they do that, and if they do it for, you know, they do a big jump compared to what you. So let's say you're 5:30 and they sleep until 9:30 or 10:00. They may find that they've thrown out their biological clock. And for that reason, then find it really difficult to get to sleep at bedtime. And then so the sleep that they've made up the deficit of is being stolen from the next night.
OK, so if you sleep in until 10 in the morning and then you go to bed at your normal time, whatever that might be, but you're still actually wide awake.
Yeah.
That's
then
the problem. That's
the problem. So like the initial suggestion is if you are going to sleep in, that you don't sleep in more than 1 to 2 hours, because that potentially creates a buffering zone for that particular problem. But everyone is going to be a little bit different. And of course, it is going to depend on what type of sleep debt you are carrying as a rule anyway.
Talk to me about sleep debt.
So the main suggestion around sleep is that lost sleep is sleep lost forever. So, you know, you have, and as a result, you are building up a sleep debt. So if we take a typical adult, their need for sleep ranges between 7 to 9 hours. And again, experts suggest that we try and aim for somewhere in the middle, so 7 to 8 hours.
Yeah.
And without getting that, you are potentially building up a sleep debt. And of course, that's going to have a wide range of implications from, you know, how you feel and what you're thinking, your mood, your concentration, to like moving up the scale, health issues, later health issues.
It's interesting. During the week, we talked to Dr. Ruth Freeman of Research Ireland about every creature, every living creature, no matter how primitive the organism, they all need sleep.
Yep.
Like a jellyfish that has no brain, it goes into this sleep state as well. So the scientists have now discovered it's to repair DNA, as well as the other stuff we know about, you know, storing
exactly
up and
that.
Editing your memories and all that.
Correct. So like repair and restoration, you know, and again, in the absence of that, of course, we leave ourselves open. And it's not as easy as that, though, is it? Because if it was just easy to get enough sleep, we'd all get enough sleep. Because sleep is governed by all of the factors, you know, lifestyle.
Now, I talk to my colleagues who maybe been away for a week's holidays, and they come back and they say, I feel really well rested.
Yeah.
So that looks like they're eliminating some of that sleep debt that they had accumulated. And a few days of really doing nothing and sleeping well sets them up for the next week. And you're saying that's not really on, is it?
Well, it's important to try to get more sleep. And so even this whole idea of lost sleep, gone forever, that's not really true, is it? Because like you, you're getting up very early during the week and then you pay it back and you're balancing the scale. And provided it's not giving you a massive issue anywhere else, then that's amazing. It's interesting, though, you know, when we do get better rested and we switch off. And I think that's the other side of it, that we do have holiday, that we're less busy, mind busy, physical busy. And it's different. It's more social, you know.
Now for me, light is hugely important. If I'm in a room where dawn is breaking, the curtains aren't strong enough to keep the light out, I will wake up.
Yes, exactly.
I'm very light sensitive.
Yes. So again, you know, I work a lot with families of young children. And of course, we see young children having high levels of reactivity to their diet, to their level of exercise, to the environment. And that transcends through the lifespan. And I suppose everybody is going to individually be different. So you're sort of understanding your sleep profile, for example. Sleep does really well in a dark space. The brain does really well. When you have any light exposure, the potential is that we stimulate the waking part of the brain. And of course, that can make us wake up sooner than we'd like or than we need to.
Talk to me about the circadian rhythm, what it is, and is it different for every person?
So it's your internal body clock, and like your sleep is organized by, you know, a number of processes, and the body clock is one of them. And it's governed, well, I suppose in some ways you need to think about it, that we have a few clocks. We've got the biological circadian rhythm, you've got your social clock and we've got the sun clock. And essentially it's trying to align those aspects together.
So it changes all the time.
Well, it's running, like the idea is that our circadian rhythm runs in about 24 hours and a little bit. So it's always a little bit out of sync with the day. Does that make any sense to you? And essentially we help to regulate the body clock with cues like light cues, eating cues and rituals that
you
put in play.
If, for example, you know, I will be changing my rhythms when I go the weekends in a few weeks' time, I will no longer be getting up Monday to Friday at 5:30 in the morning. That might happen on a Saturday. I don't think I'll be getting up that early on a Saturday and Sunday, but still, I will be changing those things. So I can prepare for that new rhythm by doing certain things.
Yeah, you certainly can, like, you know, and I suppose, look, what a lovely phase to be going into personally for yourself. But like in general, what we're always trying to do with the circadian rhythm is regulate it. So we put a lot of importance on the wake time in general, you know, and that we tend to try and have as regular wake time as possible. And just like you're saying with the light, getting broad spectrum light exposure first thing in the morning time is a powerful influence for helping us set up the day, but also set the tone for our evening and our sleep at night time.
There are some alarm clocks you can get that actually start to gradually brighten.
Exactly that, because sometimes it's nice to be woken gently rather than the sort of aggressive alarm clock sometimes people are using in their phones. So sometimes that sunrise alarm clock is a good way of helping you to wake yourself up.
Some questions coming in. My husband has to get up at 6 a.m. for a month of day shifts, then his month of night shifts, and he needs to get up at 6 p.m. The day-night months alternate. 12-hour shifts are 2 or 3 days with 2 or 3 days off in between. What's the best way for him to manage this for his health?
Like, it's really difficult, because when we are looking at shift work, we're challenging the internal body clock, because like you're saying about the circadian rhythm, like it is predetermined, you know, in terms of the way our hormones are organized to excrete, you know, the cortisol awakening so that we get up and we're supposed to feel alert, but we don't always feel that way. And when we work shift work, we're challenging that. And then there's often an abrupt transition between
he's getting the two or three days of a transition.
That's it, you see. And sometimes you could sort of move things a little bit over the couple of days so you get closer to your schedule. But it is difficult.
Another question. I'm in my mid-60s post-hysterectomy. No problem at all going to sleep about 11 o'clock in the evening, but I wake up anytime from 3 a.m. onwards and I just can't get back to sleep.
I know, it's so difficult. And I suppose, you know, sleep is governed by all of the factors. And then, of course, our hormones, the way that we're thinking, how we're feeling. And this waking the overnight period is really common for a large percentage of people. I think the first thing with sleep is to rule out anything underlying it from a medical perspective. Like even something as simple as having low vitamin D can impact the quality and the duration of your sleep. So sometimes it's a good idea to get your bloods done, look at your iron levels, your ferritin level, which is the storage of the iron, to see if there's something there and that we could be targeted. But also within your remit always is the lifestyle parts, you know. And often when we have someone who's awake overnight, they're actually having an irregular wake time because they go back to sleep sometimes at some point in the night, and then they're waked and they overcompensate. So we look at that regularity piece.
Now, some people, obviously, they go out on a Friday night and therefore they don't get to bed at their usual time and therefore they sleep in the morning because they need to.
Yes, exactly that. And sometimes it's a good idea then to like make it less brutal on the Sunday night, is to try to, you know, almost go halfway between the times so that you're not having what we call the Sunday night insomnia.
Now this one, I'm a 48-year-old woman. If I don't set my alarm, I could easily sleep for 10 hours or more. I rarely wake up naturally.
Yeah, and I suppose like it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like that particular individual is getting more sleep than what we suggest a person may need. But of course, we're always going to have people who are outside the bandwidths.
But can you get too much sleep?
Well, the only thing I would be inquiring there is that, are you getting that level of sleep and do you feel well rested? And if you're not feeling well rested, then of course, then I would be looking for a full review of everything. And, you know, let's say we look at sleep in two parts, quality and quantity, and like they're of equal importance. So sometimes we are getting 7-8 hours of poor quality sleep from stimulants, alcohol intake, eating, you know, foods that don't help with the processing of sleep. So again, it's looking at everything when we are trying to promote a positive sleep profile.
Lucy Wolfe, author and sleep expert from sleepmatters.ie. Lucy, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.